Rush is going to throw a fade, left side to the end zone, leaping up. Is it caught?
Tolbert,
touchdown. Jalen Tolbert. He takes the team lead, and the game's about to be tied.
The team lead? Brad Sham, Babe Laufenberg with a call here on your home of the Dallas Cowboys. Sean Shreve back with you alongside Cowboys insider Bobby Roberto Belchoppy. We'll be back later in the week after the New Year's celebration. We got Peyton and Kaden live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube.
He is the team leader in touchdowns now. He has 7 this year.
What?
Yeah.
Wow. I heard Wolchuk say third straight week for Jalen Tolbert. And that leads us into star down, star down, star up, star down, whatever you want. Brought to you by Crown Royal, proud whiskey sponsor of the National Football League. And that tied it at 7. It was kind of a weird throw where it just seemed like it ended up in the chest of Jalen Tolbert. But that was a hell of a response there from Cooper Rush and the Cowboys offense after throwing the pick 6. And that's Jalen Tolbert playing with a broken finger, tying the game at 7.
Yeah, you end up, I think you watch a lot of Cooper Rush and you think to yourself, that was a weird throw. And so, yeah, so a lot of those end up that way. But look, yeah, 3 straight weeks with a touchdown. The thing, I was talking with somebody yesterday.
Well.
Yeah, just somebody that gets a well now. I was talking to somebody yesterday in the press box and we were just discussing Tolbert. And they said, I'm not going to out them because I don't know if they say this publicly. But they were like, you know what? He's like, I don't think the Tolbert hate is totally deserved. He's like, that's my hot take that if I said it, you know, consistently enough. He's like, because I
that's
think
that's something someone should put their name next
no,
to.
No, I think he has. I don't know. So yeah. I'm not going to, if he's got that as a take he's coming with this week, I don't want to throw it out there for him. But he was saying that, you know, he's not a black hole. Like, he makes plays for you. He had the Pittsburgh touchdown. He had that touchdown yesterday. He had the touchdown against Tampa Bay. Like, he is somebody who has made plays. It's just, yeah, is he a prolific, like, 80 catch guy? No. Has he lived up to his draft position? Probably not. But he's not an awful football player, is the way he looked at it.
I thought you were suffering from jet lag on the way back when you sent star up, star down. You put Jalen Brooks, and I went in box score. I was like, no, he meant Jalen Tolbert. And then I asked you this morning to clarify. No, you're still going with Jalen Brooks.
Jalen Brooks, looking a 41-7 game. I think any star up could be questioned.
I didn't even realize Jalen Brooks played. He had 1 catch for 12 yards on 1 target, and you're going star up.
So when you are eliminated, part of what do we want to see these final
Wait, teams? Who did you say before the year that you believed in more, Brooks or Tolbert?
Started with Tolbert, changed to Brooks.
Okay. Now, all right. Now it makes sense. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, I started with Tolbert. So this is still me admitting I'm wrong. See how I turned that around on you?
Go.
Brooks, he's somebody who I like the competitiveness. I like the way that the last 2 training camps he's shown when we're out there at those practices. He's the best ball bag. He's the best bad ball catcher.
The best ball bag.
He's the best bad ball catcher on the team in the training camp sessions he has been. He's somebody who adjusts to the ball really well. He's tough. He's probably the best contested catcher right there with CeeDee.
He had 1 catch for 12 yards.
No, I'm just talking about in general when you watch the way
this isn't generalities from training camp, star up, star down. Yes, this is like from the Eagle game.
It is in this sense. When we're watching these games where they're eliminated, I need to see, all right, the guys who are getting opportunities to play now when they're out of contention, who's actually building on things and showing me something for next year? Jalen Brooks in very limited time, that first pass, he has a really great route. Probably the best route anybody ran yesterday on the team was this first down catch that he made. And I'll show it to you when we get to the break. The way he sells the vertical, the way he snapped back on the hitch and then jumped up and attacked the football and came back down. And then the very next play was the Turpin stumble where he almost scored on the carry. And Brooks, the very next play after running that route, does a fantastic job running towards the center of the field and picking off the safety and opening up to where if Turpin would have scored, Brooks would have been the block we were talking about. And so I thought, just when I see those little samples of, all right, he's starting to put it together, because there was the catch before halftime, the 41-yarder against Washington. There was the touchdown catch against Carolina in the end zone. Like, I'm starting to see enough of these things where I'm going, okay, in small pockets, he's building this consistency that we've needed to see from him, where he could be a legitimate starting NFL receiver, I think.
The star down, obviously, is for Cooper Rush offensively. It's pretty obvious as well who gets the big star down on D.
Pickett in the gun. Snap is back. They rush him. He avoids the pressure. He throws the left side of the end zone. Wide open touchdown. Running away from Booth. Devontae Smith. The Eagles have regained the lead.
Andrew Booth. It was a rough one. And he had a penalty earlier on the drive, which I think Greg Olsen thought was questionable. Are you about to defend Andrew Booth?
No, I'm going to take it I'm definitely going to say Andrew Booth was terrible. But I'm going to take it a direction maybe that is a little off the beaten path. When you watch the Eagles clearly identify Andrew Booth, there he is, go after him. We're going to do this. Did you feel like Kellen Moore ever did that in Dallas?
I initially, just off the top of my head, I would say no.
There are a lot of days we come in here and go like, why don't you take advantage of this? Why don't you take advantage of this? Where we didn't feel like he would.
Like Zach and Broadus started off with a little side shot towards Kellen Moore in the post game, saying that's the Kellen Moore we remember because they're coming out not running Saquon.
Right. Yeah. Which was that was a rough first three plays where it's like, yeah, let's go with Kenny Pickett three times on a rollout. But when you see Kellen Moore look for those matchups and attack them.
Yeah.
And you see certain things. Does that start make you questioning what is Dak seeing in his progressions? Like, is Kellen Moore trying to target certain things when he was here? And was Dak just not going to it? Is this a Dak
read problem? Well, all I heard was, you know, coverage dictates where you go. You don't dictate that yourself. Coverage dictates where you go. That was a big thing from Kellen all the time.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you remember Mike McCarthy said Zach Martin to right tackle, that's fantasy football nonsense. He said that in 2020. And then since then, he said best five. The reason he said it was fantasy football nonsense is because Zach Martin didn't want to play tackle. Hmm. And he was covering for Zach Martin. He was taking the arrows for it, which is admirable. It makes me wonder that when those questions come up, is Kellen Moore taking arrows for Dak? Or it's like, yeah, look, we wanted Dak to target certain things. He didn't do it. Like, I can only tell him. I can only.
Why would he not?
Just if Dak in general reads something different or doesn't trust the progression to just go and target it, it may be that way. Where it could be designed, or that Kellen's intention is, let's look for this opportunity, and it's just Dak's not going there with the progression.
Devontae scores the touchdown on Booth. Again, penalty earlier in the drive on Andrew, and then he gives up the 50-yarder to Devontae right before half. So big star down.
17 coverage snaps. He was targeted 7 times. 5 receptions allowed, 111 yards, 2 touchdowns, a 153.3 passer rating.
Woo!
And you remember, this was the first game he had to play a lot of snaps was against the Giants in week 4. And you remember, he was so bad in that game that's when they put Amani Orewarie out there for the first time. It was because he couldn't cover anybody.
Yeah.
And now you're seeing what happens when he gets exposed out there again. But star up. I'm going to go. I'm digging deep in my bag.
Oh, wait. Who had half a catch? Who had half a sack that Bobby's going to throw out awards to now after the Jalen Brooks Award?
Linval Joseph and his 2 tackles in this game is getting a star up because Saquon Barkley had problems running the ball in the first half.
Yeah.
This felt like a game where he was going to have 3 yards a carry. In fact, I think at halftime, he was at like 2 or maybe 1.9 or something. They were doing a good job. And when they would do a good job, it was Linval Joseph plugging up the middle and causing problems and disrupting things. And I thought when he was in there, he's been a good run defender all season. When he was in there in that game yesterday, which was a lot of those run snaps, they were great. In fact, I saw yesterday when he was on the field, Linval Joseph, they were allowing how many yards per carry? They were allowing 2.9 yards per carry on the 14 run snaps that he was on there. When he was off the field, they were allowing 5 yards per carry.
Hmm.
So Linval Joseph, I thought, was impressive. He's one of these under the radar veteran additions they made in training camp when they were kind of scrambling, who has really worked out.
My other star ups defensively were the linebackers with Kendricks and Leofau. Kendricks had a 3rd-and-3 tackle that forced a punt. No tush push taking place. 2 3 and outs to start. I had Kendrick's name next to a lot of those things that were taking place. And then Leofau, feels like Leofau gets away with a penalty every game. Feels like he got away with another one yesterday, but he was just sitting there flying around. And I noticed him. I also had a question mark on Deron Bland versus AJ until the touchdown that AJ threw into the stands that he later had to trade the signed jersey for. But this was all Devontae Smith and no A.J. Brown, and it felt like Deron Bland was the one that was responsible for that. So I had some star-ups defensively there.
And Bland was following him. So yesterday, wherever A.J. Brown went, they moved Deron Bland over there. So he was tracking him and did a good job. Late in the game, when it's kind of already out of hand, they get the one throw to the corner of the end zone that A.J. Brown doesn't get his second foot down, the mini OBJ catch that he had with the one hand that didn't count. And then they just go back to the well 2 plays later and go, all right, let's try it again. And it worked. And so, that wasn't great near the end. But overall, I thought Deron Bland played well.
Star down to the show and fan favorite.
So the Cowboys start at the 30. Play action fake and a bootleg to the right by Rush. And he threw the ball into a crowd.
Ball's out.
It looks like a catch and a fumble. And the Eagles believe they've got the ball at the Dallas 38.
Ferg with the fumble. Jake Ferguson right after a Devontae Smith touchdown. So Smith scores to make it 14-7. Ferg fumbles part of that second half, a second quarter collapse. Second half, you could call it collapse as well. But Broadus and Zach were just saying, man, it just feels like, you know, an instance of Ferguson trying to do too much in what has been, and I thought Walchuk put it correctly, a letdown year for Ferguson following what happened last season.
There's something just not right about the connection between Cooper Rush and Jake Ferguson. Or not even the connection, just the no desire to look that way from Cooper Rush. I feel like when we talk about when backup quarterbacks step in, a lot of times we're talking about running backs and tight ends. Who's your safety blanket? Who's your security guy here? Ferguson has not been his security guy at all. These are Dak's, or these are Jake Ferguson's numbers in the games Dak played this year. 6-for-95, 7-for-49, 6-for-70, 3-for-11, 6-for-23, 7-for-71. Cooper Rush takes over. 4-for-24, 1-for-11, 3-for-32, 2-for-23, 6-for-40, 3-for-18. He was getting 5-6 catches a game with Dak. Now it's down to about 2. And yesterday when they threw that pass to Mingo, Ferguson was open. Ferguson had broken towards the middle field, and he just couldn't get a look. That was the first time he finally touches the ball yesterday, was when he fumbles. And he's trying to make something happen, like you mentioned there. But it's been a disappointing year for Ferguson. He's been one of the little bit of letdown guys. I also think, given what we heard him saying about the concussion,
yeah,
and how that rattled him, I'm not surprised that maybe he's not playing at his best.
Where was Micah yesterday?
Twitter will tell you who's being held. And that was the problem. He's being held, and that's apparently.
I'm going to go for Micah.
I don't know if it was just an earlier game.
I don't know. I'm going to go as Micah for Halloween one year and just do the like this with the arm glued around my neck, which Twitter loves to point to. But I didn't notice him at all.
You need to have a shirt too that says we're a damn good football team as you're being held back. But no, he was not great in this game. He's definitely a star down for me. Didn't make enough of an impact rushing the passer when they really needed him to. And in run defense, he had a couple different plays. There were at least two, and I'll see it on post-hut today, but there were at least two plays I know on this one where he had bad angles and missed tackles, and it led to extra yardage. And so I thought Micah Parsons was that was probably his worst game of the year, I felt like. Now I may watch back and change my mind completely because there have been a lot of games where he affects it more when I go back and look at it. But, yeah, I felt that this was a down game for him. And he looked like, Calvin Watkins pointed this out, he looked like he was a little banged up walking back to the locker. Not obvious with it, but definitely didn't look like he was 100%.
Star Up, Star Down is brought to you by Crown Royal, proud whiskey sponsor of the National Football League. I know a couple of Tolos who stayed up late last night to drink a little extra Crown because the game went to overtime. It feels like 1991 all over again for the Commanders. And should we really be laughing at the Giants that much for screwing up the number one pick around the rest of the NFC East and the NFL on a Cowboys Monday next?